Mishkan, you're never alone.
Shalom. Welcome to the Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, and today we are continuing with part 1B on preparation skills for the Remnant Bride. And last week we were defining the words for crises, emergency, and we're going to continue that discussion today in this series.
One of the things I encourage you to do, if you don't know this, is to use an 1828 Noah Webster dictionary. I know a lot of us are really focused on using the Hebrew, but when you're looking up English words, say, for instance, if you wanted to biblically define the word emergency, emergence, crises, well, you're not going to find emergency or the word crises in your scriptures in the English. But if you use an 1828 Noah Webster dictionary, which you can find online or get a hard copy, and a lot of times it's in your eSword package and your software with your Bibles, you will find the definitions within that definition and keywords so that you can look them up. For instance, if resolve or emergence or crisis has the word separate or to divide, etc., you can look those words up in the scriptures and then find the Hebrew word so you track yourself back. And one of the reasons why the 1828 dictionary is important this way is because Noah Webster, I think it was 22 or 23 languages, something like that, he researched and learned those languages and he tracked back the American English back to its biblical definition according to the scriptures. And one of the ways, or one of the things as an example of that, is the word patience or patient. If you look at a modern day, you could even go back 20, 25 years, a modern day definition of, say, the word patient, you will find, you know, some really watered down definition. But if you go to, say, the Noah Webster dictionary, the 1828, and remember, he tracked that back to the biblical definition, you'll find basically the paraphrase is that patience or being patient is accepting tribulation without murmuring or complaining as the will of God.
Oh, that's a tough one, without the murmuring and complaining.
Amen. So, yeah. So that's one of the reasons why I, you know, find that very good to study from. And so I did find the definition of emergency comes out of the word emergence, which means the act of rising out of a fluid or other covering or surrounding matter. Again, if we look at this in the context of Israel being dispersed in the nations, we are surrounded and covered, and we want to come out of the world and quit serving Baal or Hasatan. The other part that I found fascinating about with this was in that definition, it said the white color of all refracted light at its first emergence is compounded of various colors. Now, I have taught many times in my linen shows or linen teachings that white is basically the akkad or the unity or the oneness of all the colors being akkad in union. And that when you see white or white light, you are really, you don't, although you don't recognize it, you are seeing all the other different colors. And that comes out of this word emergence. And in case of an emergency or an emergency, we see the word that it suddenly can also cause you to wake up. It can make you see. And that was a root word that we saw suddenly out of that when we were searching it. And it came to the Hebrew word H6621 in the Strong's and H6597 and H4118. And so if you want to look those up, you can look those up. And Mark 13:36, we see that lest he come suddenly find you sleeping or resting or laying down. And so these are words that are connected to the word emergency. We have the word crises, which again is to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. And what we found interesting about this word in crises was it told us to go look for the word crime. And it comes from the Greek and the Latin to separate, to determine, or decide. And we know that when we're facing a crisis, it's going to go one of two ways. It's usually a crossroad time in our lives. And it can either go really good or really bad, depending on how we react and what choices we make. And it can, in a medical science definition, it says that it can indicate whether you're going to recover from death. And so it is a life or death turning point. Now, Suzanne, you have some other verses for us there?
Hebrews 11:7. By belief, Noah, having been warned of what was yet unseen, having feared, prepared an ark to save his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is according to belief. So we see that it wasn't unbelief or not trusting in Father that makes one prepare. It's trusting in him that makes us walk this out, a physical action to our spiritual belief.
Amen. Okay, so where do you want to go from here? You want to go any more verses or talk any more about that and what you need to prepare? I know that you've got some notes here that you'd like to share.
Let's talk about the things that we know can happen. We have from Yeshua in Matthew 24:37-39, as the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. For as they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. And Matthew 24:7, for nation shall rise against nation, and reign against reign, and there shall be scarcities of food, and deadly diseases, and earthquakes in places. And pray that your flight does not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. And Matthew 24:21, for then there shall be great distress, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So we know that no matter what we do, this thing that's coming is greater than anyone's ever seen. So in the end, Father's still going to have to pick up where we cannot do everything to prepare. We cannot have enough. The food's going to run out, even if we had a lot. Eventually, I believe we'll probably see manna and we'll see water from the rock. But until that time, we have a duty to be a witness and follow the instructions and follow the example set by Noah and by Yosef, that we know that Yeshua gave us these verses and told us that these things were coming, and we've seen those things happen. So we walk that out by getting ready and not just throw our hands up in the air and say, well, you know, I have faith and he'll just take care of me.
Amen. And we know he, you know, just like the first Exodus, when he brought him out, they didn't have a lot. They didn't have a lot to prepare or store up or stock up. They couldn't carry it all out with them. And, you know, this is where the rubber hits the road. And we really learn man does not live by bread alone, but by the very word of Yahweh. And this is also where we have to, you know, look, we're all going to die. That's number one. And I think one of the things that really gets into this preparedness thing is fear, fear, fear. And we're not to fear anything but him. And if we can bring ourselves and reconcile to ourselves that we are going to die. Question is when? You know, what is our purpose? What is our function? Until that death, do we fulfill that? And, you know, the witnesses and Yahweh's people overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and that is how they live their lives, and that testimony is his word. And I think, I know for me, I had to get to that place where, because what happens is if you just keep living in fear and preparedness is the physical things, you don't ever really move forward or sideways because you're afraid, you know, you might be doing the wrong thing and you don't go forward. We need to continue to go forward in the things that we know that we're called to do, yet realizing that, yeah, some things may not come to fruition, you know, the way we think that they will, but we have to reconcile that we are going to die. And we need to live our lives and love them not even unto death to be the bride and to get the best bang for your buck, if you want to put it that way, that you're going to live your life fully and not in restraint and fear all the time.
The other thing was that we see that in Scripture, a lot of times what Yah did is he took what people already had. He multiplied the loaves and the fish. He multiplied the oil. And so by us giving or preparing or trying to get what we can, what we're able to do, and it takes all of us. We're a nation. He's building a nation. He doesn't want any one of us to be able to get through it, because as human nature goes, if we could get through something ourselves, we would not try to look to other people and we wouldn't try to look to him. So he's going to get us to that point where we have to have others. But we can each as individual members do what we can do, what he leads us to do and what we are able to do, and make a start. And then he will multiply it and bless it, and it'll be a blessing and a witness to his people and to others.
Amen. And I think one of the biggest things that needs to come forth when we're talking about preparation is that these are truly birth pains. These are contractions. And we aren't just looking forward to the day of those contractions and birth pains. We are in those contractions and birth pains. And, you know, you might not have a baby for 12 to 24 hours. And if we reckon that along a timeline of saying that, you know, 1,000 years is a day to Yahweh, it could take quite a bit of time to go through this birthing process. And we have to recognize, number one, that we're in the birthing process, but that doesn't mean that the birth is, you know, imminent in our time frame. And so we need to realize there's going to be stages. It's going to take time. It's not going to be just one event that's going to end everything. It's a process of us coming out. It's going to go over a period of time, and a bunch of different things are going to happen, and it won't all happen until Father says so. But meanwhile, we have to keep drinking, breathing, and getting ready and going through those contractions together. And I think that a lot of this will bring us together as a nation, as people. We will get over our petty little differences, and we will find out what's really, really important when it comes to love and faith and how we walk it out with each other.
I mean, we need that. And the one thing that said, this could take a long time, and sometimes we get tired and we feel like we've been crying wolf and things have not materialized the way that we think they should or as fast as they should. But having a preparedness and living that lifestyle of just being generally ready for things helps you, whether it's a small thing or a big thing. It doesn't have to be the apocalypse. It can just be the birth pains, which we see have already happened. We're seeing earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts and floods. And if we just start doing one thing, every time you go to the store, pick up a little something extra that is put away as your part of your emergency supplies, you will start to make a difference and you'll start to make a dent in things and you will feel better about that. And it doesn't have to break the bank if you just try to do one thing at a time.
Right. I think the important thing is that you're moving forward in the right direction instead of backwards.
We'll be right back after this short message. Check out Remnant Remedy's exclusive essential oil blend, Hadassah. Hadassah is a unique blend of the precious Torah oils at an affordable price, which are known to change DNA. It is believed that the son of Aaron's may have had their DNA changed with their distinctive Y chromosome markers that can be traced from ancient times until today, when they were anointed with the Torah oils prescribed by Yahweh. Those that have used Hadassah and Cohen have used them for migraine headaches, for calming, for depression, to take away the sting and the swelling and the redness of bee stings, skin conditions, and best of all, to condition your shofar. Cover your shofar with our Hadassah Kohen oils and smell the aroma for months to come. When you blow your shofar, the vibrational sounds will be released along with the signature frequencies of the Torah oils. For more information about Hadassah and Kohen, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Bookstore and click on Remnant Remedy.
So you're going to share some resources. Do we want to do that at the end of the show, or do we want to get into the four areas of preparation? And because we're going to go into a break in just a minute. And do you want to do that and just explain what those four areas are, and then we'll go into one of them?
Yes. There's four categories of areas to prepare for. That's your automobile, general, your bug out bag or your Exodus bag, and your first aid kit. And I think we're going to cover the auto today.
Yes, we'll go over the auto, and then we're going to be right back after this message, and we'll talk about that. We are talking about preparedness skills for the Remnant Bride. And Suzette was talking about the four major categories of your preparation checklist. And we have about 15 minutes. So we're going to talk about auto, and if we have time, then we'll go back and talk about an imminent or a maintenance checklist. If not, we'll cover that next week on the show next week. And when we get to the first aid, we will also talk about essential oils, herbs, wildcrafting. We'll talk about the Exodus flea bag or bug out bag, and then we'll talk about the general emergencies, etc. So Suzette, what do you have to share with us on the auto?
Well, these are things that you would carry in your automobile, especially commuters. Most of us commute, people that work. I'm blessed to be at home, but most commuters travel farther than anybody is used to walking in a day. And if you're going on a trip, certainly you want to have these things. And for those of us that live in environments where there's winter, this is a more serious consideration that we have to take for these things. And there's some really good things. You'd want to have 5 to 10 gallons of water in your vehicle. You need a half a gallon per person per day for drinking and a half a gallon per person per day for hygiene. So a gallon per person per day minimum. So if you were going on a long trip, you would want to make sure you have enough for the family. Blankets, the emergency blankets, the Mylar blankets that they use for treating shock and stuff. Those are really small. They fold up. They're just a few inches by a few inches, and they're only a couple dollars. Those come in really handy. You can stash those in your car easily. And wool blankets. Wool retains its loss even when it's wet, it retains most of its insulating property. Down is a great insulator, but it does not maintain its insulation factor when it's wet. And regular other fabrics lose their insulation factor as well. The entrenching tool, I had a personal experience of getting lost in a snowmobile trail up north when I was towing a trailer. And I did not, several years ago, I did not have an entrenching tool on me.
Now, define entrenching tool for me.
That's a military shovel. You can find a small shovel to put in your car, but the nice thing about a military entrenching tool is some of them will have a full, it's a short handle, but it doesn't fold up. But some of them are metal, and they fold all up into a large pocket. And they have, it's like a silicone almost, a rubber pocket. And it'll slide right in there, and it stores very compactly. And they're sturdy because they're meant to be carried, you know, and used with military vehicles.
Now, let me just back up here for a minute. One of the things that you can do when you're traveling, whether is, you know, at Remnant Remedy, we have adult water filters, and we have the big ones and the small mini ones. And so if you can take that, you can filter your water while you're traveling at the hotels, or if you have to go down to a creek, or if there was an emergency like a flood, you could use them for that. You can clean them and reuse them. So you might want to check out different kinds of filters. And here in the Northwest, for instance, after this show tonight, I'm going to be driving 90 miles to the next town to get some paint for our new ministry office. And I'm going to make sure that we have a change of clothes, some snacks, you know, something to make sure that we stay warm. We're going to make sure we have a full tank of gas, because let's say we hit some black ice and it's very easy for us to go flying off the side of the highway down the mountainside and not be found in the next day. This happens maybe once a year or every other year with people. So if I'm going to be stuck in my car on the side of a mountain, I want to make sure before someone comes to find us that we have a way to stay warm, keep the car running as long as possible on warm. If we were traveling the back roads, we would make sure that we had the chainsaw. We might get halfway up somewhere and find that we cannot finish the trip in the snow. So, and I know that you're going to talk more about that, but those are just things to really take into consideration that you need to be prepared. You may never have to use it, but if you're stuck somewhere, you're going to want to make sure you have it. And what if it's not for you? Maybe it's for someone that you're going to find on the side of the road somewhere.
Absolutely. God forbid you go flying off the mountain.
Yeah.
A tarp. Because two wouldn't be bad, because if you wanted to make yourself a shelter, you'd want something underneath of you to keep you from getting wet from the ground, and one to cover you. Flashlights. And a lot of people like the idea of rechargeable batteries or the crank or the shake type flashlights and radios. I do not recommend those except as a backup. I think those are awesome for a backup, and if you can afford it, get both. But I use alkaline Duracell batteries or Energizer. I have found a difference in the brand of batteries. Sometimes if I get the cheaper brand batteries, they leak or they're not good over time. And rechargeables are awesome if you have a way to recharge them, but they actually discharge over time. So you never, ever use rechargeables as your emergency items. You don't use them in your flashlights in your car or in your emergency items at your house.
Why is that, that we wouldn't use our rechargeables again?
Because they discharge over time just from sitting.
Okay.
They're often dead when you go to use them,
even though
there are some that supposedly don't, but eventually they will just drain themselves. And that would be a very bad situation. And I love having a 4D mag light in the car for a flashlight. And they have small ones too, and the mag lights are very reliable. And there's some other nice ones that have come out with lightweight, the halogen bulbs or the LED. There's been some real improvements. So if you don't like that big flashlight, but it can double as a weapon, look at some of the smaller improved versions that they have out there.
Yeah, and you know, you could knock somebody upside the head if you had to. And you know, where I live, you know, I know this isn't for everybody. I mean, you have different creatures in the cities, but we have wolves, you know, we have bears, we have mountain lions. You don't ever want an elk or a moose to attack you. So having a really good light is important. And what about your waterproof matches and things to start fires with?
Yes, I carry a magnesium fire starter. It's a military tool, but you can find it in the camping stores or the survival, you know, magazines or catalogs and such. And it has a striker bar, a black striker bar on one side, and it's just a big hunk of magnesium. And you scrape some off with a knife, which is your other tool that you should have. A knife and a multi-tool is even better. And you scrape off some shavings onto the item that you want to light on fire, and then you spark it with the knife on the striker bar. And they work really good. You can light a tire on fire if you need to, and
yes,
you might have to.
Yes, go ahead. I want to tell a tire story when you're done. Go ahead.
The other thing, you can do waterproof matches. You can make your own if you don't want to pay for them. You just dip them in wax, basically, but lighters are preferable. Have a couple. You can go to the dollar store these days and pick up the long candle lighters that are so you don't burn your fingers, and they're a dollar a piece. Pick up 5 or 10 at a time if you run in there. Stick some in your car. You can have them Ziploc so that they stay dry, or put them in a vacuum bag, and always have a Ziploc bag if you need to keep something dry to put it into after you remove it from a vacuum bag.
And you'll talk some more about that, too, when you talk about the bug-out Exodus bag, right?
Yes, and we have a lot more things that start fires that we can talk about.
I was just going to say, about 4 or 5 years ago, there was a city man with great computer technology information. He was a professional, but he took his family up to the Northwest from California. He had a wife and a child, and they didn't know enough to not take a certain road during the wintertime. And they were relying on their Google and their, you know, satellite system recommendation from their car, basically. And
That's how I ended up in the snowmobile trail.
Yeah. And that cost him his life. And he got out, you know, he obviously tried to find a place for his family to be safe, but he realized this, he was way out in the middle of nowhere. And these roads, a lot of these roads are not traveled in the wintertime. And most people know that they live here, but he didn't. And he was going not by common sense, but by this technology. And so he got out and walked, and they found him dead a couple of days later. But his wife, he had started a fire with the tires. And his wife and child stayed in the car covered with snow, which the snow insulates, and they survived. Of course, she nursed the baby. And so that's another good reason for nursing. And so it is important to know these things and not rely on technology and use common sense and learn mapping skills.
Absolutely. Praise God that the mother and the child were found safe. We're sad that he lost his life. But those are decisions that we have to learn how to make, the right decisions. So you should always, always, always have paper maps. And I prefer the laminated ones because they're not going to get wet, and you're not going to have your map if they get wet. You should carry other paper to start a fire or use as kindling if you want, but your map should not be your kindling. And I use a GPS, but
unless you really need it.
Have paper maps. Yeah, and extra clothing. You know, depending on what, I don't know how far he was out or whatever, but weather is our number one threat. And your clothing is your first defense. You can live days without water and weeks without food and years without proper nutrition, but in extreme weather cases, you can die in minutes or within a few short hours. So having the right clothes in your car, have heavy winter boots, have the Carhartt bibs or the snow pants and mittens and gloves and hats, and make sure your extremities are covered, your ears and your head and your fingers and your toes, and get the hand warmers. Have a few of those. They work great. They actually prevent frostbite. And you can get some for your socks and put some in your gloves. And those will be really helpful to keep from getting frostbite in those cold, cold climates.
Yeah, and one thing just to mention here, because we learned this the hard way up here too, is if you do get frostbite, and a good thing to have in your first aid kit is a blend that we call Circle of Life. And we have used that for frostbite. It's good for circulation. And, you know, make sure that you have stuff like that, maybe even some cayenne on you so that you can drink it and warm your body, or ginger.
Yep. And having some small, a little bit of like the snack foods, and having there some high calorie sugary items, because when you're in a survival situation, what you're going to need is you're going to burn a lot of calories. And especially if you're traveling with children, not only to have little snacks, that can be a comfort to them, but also to have games or a deck of cards or things that they can do to help keep them occupied and their mind off of the situation, and to pass
right.
the time, because you may be sitting for a while.
Right, and you need to also take into consideration what happens when you have, say, the elderly with you. You know, what
right.
kinds of things, make sure they can stay extra warm. And,
yeah.
you know, those are just things you've got to think outside the boxes and realize what would happen. So many of us think that we're just going to be right back in a house, and learn the symptoms of hypothermia.
Yep, basic first aid. Excellent. The other thing is, like you talked about, the chainsaw or even a handsaw if you don't want to drive around with a chainsaw. But we just went up north not too long ago, and there was a log that had fallen in the road. In our case, there was enough road left for us to get around it, and it wasn't big, so big that we couldn't move it out of the roadway. But you said up there it's very common that the logs go in the road, and it could happen anywhere that there's woods, and you can't get past it.
Absolutely.
Please join us again on part two as we continue on preparation skills for the Remnant Bride with Suzette Robinson. And again, you can get a checklist and PowerPoint information at www.paintedtongue.com. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
There's no time for my bride to postpone. Garments of linen gotta be sewn. The
learn how to make you.